supporting WHYY Penn Medicine, helping to find new cures for cancer. With life-saving clinical trials and advanced surgical techniques, Penn Medicine is offering more hope for patients everywhere. Learn more at PennMedicine.org/cancer. Penn Medicine, what's next?
Can't wait for the Super Bowl? Wednesday night affords sky gazers a chance to take in a super lunar eclipse. Joining me with the play-by-play is Derek Pitts, chief astronomer at the Franklin Institute. Though, Derek, oddsmakers say the Eagles have a much better chance of prevailing than Philadelphia area residents have of spying this supermoon.
I would always say that would be the case for the Philadelphia Eagles in this particular instance of the astronomical things that are happening around the same time. As it turns out, there is this sort of Super Bowl of astronomical events in a way. However, I have to preface this by saying, while I'm all for encouraging sky observation, especially for unique events, I really don't believe in overhyping certain kinds of things just to draw attention. And that's something that's happened with this concept of the supermoon. Yeah, I'm sort of not on the bandwagon with that one. However, there's a great way for our listeners to get out to enjoy a supermoon even the day before the total lunar eclipse. So tomorrow evening, as you're watching the just before full moon rise, you'll notice that the moon, close to the horizon, looks rather large. Now, that's not the effect of the supermoon idea itself, but simply the optical illusion, the trick that our minds play on us as we're watching the moon down close to the horizon near objects of known size. That physical positioning, as we see it, allows the moon to look very, very big. Now, the exercise that I'll ask our listeners to perform is either Tuesday night or even Wednesday evening, as the sun is setting and the moon is rising, measure the size of the moon on the horizon. And then 6 hours later, when the moon is high overhead, measure it again using the same measuring tool and see if the two measurements come anywhere near each other. In fact, they should actually turn out to be exactly the same. And that's because, again, it's not that the moon is moving away from the Earth as it rises higher in the sky, but it is this optical illusion that our brain plays, this trick that lets us think of the moon as being larger.
So what of this so-called Wednesday blue blood total lunar eclipse?
It's really the confluence of three things that are occurring right around this time. This full moon will be the second full moon of the month, the first one having occurred on January 1st. That moon, that full moon then, happened to occur at what's called perigee. Now, perigee is the point in the lunar orbit where the moon comes closest to the Earth. Okay? Now, that perigee was the closest one of the year. So that would have been the most super of the super moons that would be seen this year. This full moon that's happening this week will also be at a perigee, but the perigee won't be as close as the perigee was at the first of the month. So that takes care of the super part. Now, the blue part, as we said, was because it's the second full moon. Now, the blood part actually is the fact that there happens to be a total lunar eclipse happening on Wednesday also. But the difficulty is that we here on the East Coast won't get to see very much of that lunar eclipse at all. Most of what we'll be able to see is the full moon itself. We'll also be able to, of course, go along with the fact that it's a blue moon because it's the second full moon. We can sort of experience the super part of it because it's a close approach perigee. But the lunar eclipse part itself, out on the West Coast, we'd be able to see almost all of the eclipse.
Okay, next distraction pre-Super Bowl, Friday's Groundhog Day.
Yes, indeed it is. And I'm trying to remember if the calling here is that if the groundhog sees his shadow, then the Eagles win? Or is it the other way around?
Both ways.
I think it's, yes, that's right. It's both ways. Yeah. You're right.
It extends to teams with animal logos, so the Patriots can't possibly win.
Oh, yeah, you're absolutely right about that. So Eagles and Groundhogs, they get along well together.
Kindred.
Exactly. They're sharing good luck. Okay. February 2nd is the first cross-quarter day of the year. It's that point that's halfway between the winter solstice of the year before and the vernal equinox of this year coming. So the legend goes, of course, that if the groundhog sees his shadow on that day. That means there's 6 more weeks of winter. If he doesn't see a shadow on that day, that would mean that winter would be ending sooner. The truth of the matter is, it's the motion of the Earth around the sun that really makes the difference, and I'm not very sure that even if all the groundhogs got together, they'd have much of an effect on that. So no matter what happens on Friday, we'll still have those 6 weeks of winter left before we get there.
Good thing our listening range doesn't extend to Punxsutawney, Pennsylvania.
They'd have another idea altogether. It's surprising the degree to which that cross-quarter day is celebrated by so many people so early in the morning for a groundhog to tell us what might be coming.
And then, competing with the Super Bowl, it's the birthday of one Clyde Tumbaugh.
Yes, indeed it is. It's the 112th birth anniversary of the astronomer who discovered the planet Pluto in the evening sky in 1930. Clyde really came along at the end of a very long process of trying to identify the position of Pluto, first mathematically, then observationally, and everyone who had tried to tackle this challenge was stumped, really, until Tumbaugh came along with determination and did something that was kind of unusual and different. He photographed the sky every clear night he could with a large telescope at the Flagstaff Observatory using one of the big reflecting telescopes there. And then he looked at each and every one of the photographs using a very special device that we now call a blink comparator. This is a device that allows you to look at 2 photographs of the sky side by side, and you use a switch to blink them on and off sequentially so that you get this sort of flashing sequence between the two that allows you to identify any object that might be moving against the background of other objects, stars, that would remain fixed. So using this method, Tumbaugh was able to identify this very tiny, very distant object that no one else had been able to identify in motion among the stars.
Thanks, Derek.
My pleasure, Dave.
Derek Pitts, chief astronomer at the Franklin Institute. He joins us each week at this time on Newsworks Tonight.